Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have with me Dimitri Moritius, who is the author of Change Your Aura, Change Your Life, a step-by-step guide to unfolding your spiritual power. This book is a guidebook on how to bring certain energies into your aura and help you with different spiritual goals and help with certain problems such as depression, worry, grief, these kinds of things. Welcome, Dimitri. Where are you calling in from?
Oh, from North San Diego County in California.
Oh, great. Well, you want to tell the listening audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to write the book?
Sure. Well, I co-wrote it with Barbara Y. Martin, who's a very well-known clairvoyant and one of the world's leading aura specialists. And we've started a nonprofit here in Southern California. It's a Spiritual Arts Institute, which was dedicated to understanding better what the aura is, what spiritual energies are, how you can work with them. We do classes and workshops on a variety of metaphysical topics. Originally, I actually was in the world of film and things of that, and years ago, as I'm sure many people have had, I had a profound spiritual awakening, which changed the course of my life and started working with Barbara, and it's been kind of a miraculous journey ever since. So we just actually moved here to San Diego County to open a new center. The book just literally came out 2 days ago, or I should say the revised version of the book came out 2 days ago. And we're opening the center up in about a month. So,
And that's the Spiritual Arts Institute?
Yes, yes. We do, we'll be doing classes in person, but we also have a state-of-the-art video teleconferencing equipment. So we work with people all over the world. And God bless them, some of them are waking up at 3 in the morning to take the classes because of the time changes.
Right. Well, great.
That's the internet world, isn't it?
Yeah. So why don't we start with explaining to the audience what the aura is, what if you wouldn't mind?
Sure, sure. Well, first of all, it is amazing that more people are now interested in the ideas of the aura, of spiritual energy. Look at what's happening in the field of energy medicine now, understanding that there is a power that's supporting even the physical body. But the aura is a vibratory essence that surrounds all living things. So we all have this energy field. It's not everyone has a slightly different one. You could call it the energetic blueprint of the soul, because everything that's going on in our life is reflected somewhere in our aura. That means our health, our mental state, our emotional state, our talents, our spirituality, even things like career and how we're dealing in our relationships and financial areas, they all have an area relating to it in the auric field. And the reason we wrote the book was because the aura is not something fixed. It's changing as we're changing. And you can actually change your aura. You can work with the energy of your aura. As you change it, there will be corresponding effects in your life. So, you know, we all know it takes energy to create anything. Well, the place we forge that energy is in the auric field. So once it's in your aura, it'll show up in your life. And if it's not in your aura, you just have to build that power so that it will be in your life.
So Barbara starts the book by explaining when she was a child, she saw energy around people, colors
right.
around people, and not right. really knowing what they meant. But then she grew to understand that the colors were associated with certain qualities. Would you like to go through that?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, 3 years old, think where you were at 3 years old, and she's starting to see these energy fields around people. The first one was her mother, and she didn't understand what they meant. She was either, though, attracted to somebody by their aura because if they had these beautiful colors, or detracted if they had sort of, shall we say, ugly colors, which does happen. Just a quick anecdotal story about that. When she was 4, her father was a Greek Orthodox priest, and actually a really good one. He used to build churches as well as lead them and all of that. And they were inaugurating a huge cathedral, and the archbishop was there with the bishops, and it was a big event. And of course, her family was prominent there. Well, little 4-year-old Barbara, that doesn't understand, again, what the colors mean, but, you know, again, detracted or detracted, is looking at the Archbishop and seeing not pretty colors, but actually grotesque colors.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't figure this out, and it's kind of scary looking at it. And the bishops on either side have these really beautiful, you know, radiant auras.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the end of the service, you're supposed to get up and kiss the hand of the officiating, in this case, Archbishop. And so she yelled in front of the whole congregation, "Oh, no, I'm not kissing his hand. He's a monster. He eats children." So that was the first of many spankings, because her mom was horrified by what she said. But
right.
When she was 11, she met somebody that could see the aura and basically said, "You can see the aura, can't you?" And Barbara's jaw dropped. She said, "Is that what it's called?" She didn't even have a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out this woman in her day life, shall we say, was a theater coach, and she ran a theater company, and Barbara was in the acting troupe. But privately, she was this hermetic scientist, skilled in the ancient mystical arts. And
mm-hmm.
she said, "Barbara, I want to teach you about your gifts." And one of the first things she taught her was color interpretation, how to understand that a particular shade and hue of a color and its placement in the aura has a very specific meaning. For example,
right.
the bright emerald green shows a balanced and steady individual, but the very dark avocado green means deceit and jealousy,
mm-hmm.
two very different qualities. And you can go down the list. In the book, we actually have the area of the enlightened colors, which is what we're trying to bring more of in our aura. And to kind of drop away the other, I mean, we have that too. If we get angry, it's going to show up as a dark, vitiated
mm-hmm.
red. And one strong outburst of anger, I mean, when you really kind of let loose, can linger for 2 weeks in the aura if unattended. So it's really something we have to kind of get a better handle on. Worry can show up as a gray. Also, gray is the color of illness in the aura.
Mm-hmm.
The organs of the body even have an auric energy to it. So when they're very vibrant, there's certain colors, but when they're getting depleted and sick, they do turn to this gray. The avocado green, yes, is the jealousy and deceit. Barbara's joke is, don't buy a car from someone wearing avocado green. They'll try and
right.
cheat you.
True. Well,
and,
I once taught a class on auric readings, and you know, you have the you teach them to look with their rods and not their cones, and to focus on a place, you know, a foot above you and outside your
right,
you know, to your head. And then what I would do is change the color of my aura, and the people that could see auras could see it changing, because if you concentrate on a color, your aura will fill up with that color. So
well,
that was something.
In the meditation, we encourage people to meditate by calling on the energies and envisioning them. And, you know, that does help to, as you say, change the aura.
Yeah. So so what sort of, can you give an example, say, if someone is having trouble with, say, grief,
okay.
what would you advise them to do?
That's a strong one.
Yeah,
we all
is.
Lose somebody that we love at some point or another. It's a part of life. Well, the first thing I want to say before talking about the aura is, you know, as many may know, we're a soul inhabiting our body. We're not a body. So when somebody dies, they've just passed on from this realm. They've gone somewhere else. So they're not really dead. They're just not in the physical body anymore. So something to remember is, you know, no love is ever lost. So eventually you will be reunited with that person. We're supposed to go through a grieving process. It's actually healthy, but not beyond certain time, not excessively so,
mm-hmm.
because it can actually cause the other person to be distressed and sort of come back more often than maybe they should.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the aura, the great energy to work with there is the deep purple ray of peace. To envision yourself in this deep peace energy, and that will help the soul to relax and let go, and, you know, basically let go, help to let go of the grief.
And some of the other you know, serious problems would be depression.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you talk about jealousy.
Too.
Some
right.
of the other things that can be help
yeah.
with this.
Now, depression, of course, if it's not just, you know, a chemical imbalance. It's not a biological issue. If it's more of a mental issue or emotional issue, from again the spiritual, we have to realize a lot of these things are sort of tests. Or if Earth is a schoolhouse and we're here in this Earth to learn and grow, then these experiences also can become teachers to us, so that we can not only change our aura but learn the lesson that the process of the changing the aura creates. So, in the case of depression, if it's caused, as I say, by more emotional issues, it generally means that you're letting in too much of the outside world, you know, the problems of the world, shall we say, into your aura. You're letting current issues that you're dealing with, you know, deeply affect you, and this can burden the soul, especially the heart center, the hermetic center, to the point that you go into these deep depressions. The key energy there is a beautiful, brilliant energy called the blue-white fire. It's like the sapphire blue light, and it has this electrifying white light in it, and it is a tremendous rejuvenating power. It is, as the higher says, the single greatest healing ray there is, and it's excellent to try to pull you out of depression, to kind of let go whatever the burden may appear to be, and to let this life force energy just recharge you and give you a new sort of, say, start on things, a fresh outlook on things.
So what are some of the other, like, say, for jealousy? That was one of the ones described.
Jealousy is interesting. It is, well, first of all, with jealousy, we are, you know, gosh, that person has a talent. I wish I had that talent like they have. We tend to project something onto somebody else, wishing, let's say, we wanted it ourselves. Why did that person get born rich and I have to suffer? You know, that kind of thing. And there's a jealousy that can form around that, not realizing that anything you may admire or want in someone or something else, you yourself can create. You don't need to, you know, envy that. You know, maybe let it be a model for things that you need to work with, but it doesn't have to become, you know, an identifier. Now, in that case, there's an imbalance in the aura. So you do want to work with what we call the purifying ray, which is the orange-red flame. And this helps to release the actual negative jealous energy, because it can balloon into this dirty, again, avocado green. It can look like a bilious cloud when it's very strong. And, of course, that's very debilitating in the aura. By releasing it with the orange-red flame, then it helps to bring in the balancing energies, the what we call the emerald green ray, to kind of get yourself back on an even keel, and then, again, kind of evaluate, what was I really, you know, so jealous about? Okay, I wanted this person. She didn't want me back. She wanted somebody else. Well, okay, maybe she wasn't meant to be with me. You know, at that point, we can start to see things clearer because we're not in the heat of that jealous emotion.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You talk about resentment in the book as being, resentment is anger that is held in.
Right, right, right. So anger is, interestingly enough, anger is one of the most explosive energies in the auric field. It can literally look like a firecracker just exploded in your aura. So it really is something that we have to be careful. You know, some people, it's like they're ready to explode.
Right.
But we, with resentment, we may realize that, you know, it's not a great idea to get super angry at this person about this. I'm not even going to give you the benefit of the doubt to get angry at you. So the anger's there, but instead of just, shall we say, expressing it to that person, we kind of turn it back in, and the problem with that is, of course, it just stews, and it gets worse, and the resentment can build into a hatred if it continues.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to recognize, if we resent someone, we have to, again, figure out why. Did they really do something? Did they not do something? Of course, forgiveness is big here. Many people resent things from even 20 years ago, 30 years ago. They can hold it, things in their whole life. And the forgiveness is huge. And many people with forgiveness don't realize, when you're forgiving someone, you're not letting the other person off the hook. You're letting yourself off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
You're letting go of, again, the angers, the frustrations, the resentments that may have happened long ago, and letting yourself, you know, kind of come back into balance and harmony. So again, there's a lot of purifying to do with the orange red flame there. Definitely, I would do the forgiveness work, what we call the love ray, the deep rose pink, to bring in more loving vibrations back into your aura, and to do your best to resolve conflicts and distresses. You know, we sometimes the other person doesn't even realize what's going on. We haven't expressed it at all, and yet we've been having these feelings. So, you know, in a healthy way, we need to sit down and talk, say, you know, you stepped on my toes, this is how I feel. And so they're more aware of it. And sometimes we don't give the other person the benefit of the doubt that if something is more presented, well, maybe we can deal with this. And if they're unreasonable, well, you gave it your best shot, and you can take with it from there. But, you know, the interesting thing about the aura and emotions is if we're in one of these lower emotional states, it does darken the aura. And regardless if we're justified in being upset or angry, a negative emotion is a negative emotion. And it shows itself pretty much the same way in the aura. So what I tell myself now is I don't have the luxury of an unaligned emotion. It's even if I'm right about something, it's too draining on the aura. It takes too much energy and effort to rebuild the energy back again. Let's deal with this in other ways. It's, you know, one of the things as a light worker, we're realizing we kind of have to live by the laws of spirit now. It's, we can't live by some of the old human ways because it's not a dog-eat-dog world in the spirit. You know, that's a more instinctual way of living, and we have to live by the higher standards if we're going to be the enlightened beings we all have the potential of becoming.
So if you did slip and get angry about something, what is the best way to get that out of your field or your aura?
No, that's a great question. First of all, if you can catch it before it kind of turns into a full, you know, that old expression, count to 10 before you, you know, you can actually avoid the trigger mechanism. Mm-hmm. If you notice sometimes when, let's say, you get bad news, there's that moment you haven't quite emotionally reacted to it yet. You heard what was said, but it hasn't quite sunk in yet. Well, that means it went into the mental chakra, went into the mental center, but it didn't yet register fully in the emotional center, which is down by the navel. And if you can catch it before you fire up the emotions, because in the aura, emotions are the motor of our thoughts. They propel our thoughts into action. Well, if you cannot start the freight train up, you can avoid a whole lot of, you know, cleanup work afterwards. We recommend, if you're feeling that urge, ask the emerald green ray to go into that emotional center, turning everything clockwise, and just get your mind off of that, redirect the energy. One time I was having a difficulty with someone, and it was definitely a very difficult situation, and I found I had no smart answer, but when I found myself getting a little preoccupied with it, I would say, you know, I give this to you, God. I give this to you, God. I let it go. Now, if you did get angry, if you did blow up, then, you know, be forgiving with yourself. Okay, I let it go. I did this. Ask the orange red flame, that purifying energy, again, to go into the emotions, to cut that loose. And you're going to have to be a little patient with the emotions. Emotions don't work at the same pace as thoughts. Mm-hmm. Thoughts are much quicker going from one thought to another. Emotions are like a freight train. Once you get them going 80 miles an hour, you cannot say to an emotion, stop on a dime.
Right.
You know, so you're going to have to be a little patient, let yourself calm down, do other things, and then once you're back to neutral, then choose a more productive, you know, emotional expression. It's interesting. Barbara talks about, you know, usually the weakest link in a person's aura are the emotions, the emotional chakra, because we tend to get too sensitive about things and too easily emotionally riled up.
Yeah, when they talk about becoming a disciple, the first thing you do is overcome physical things. You know, you learn to control sex drive and hunger and all the physical things, and then you learn to control the emotions so that they don't control you. And then finally you learn to control your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, you know, so that your thoughts aren't out of control.
Well, that can be the hardest because of
yeah.
the quickness of what how a thought can be generated. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because the great mystic Helena Blavatsky, you know, that helped launch Theosophy, they were asking, mm-hmm. you know, she had all these mystical gifts, and they were asking her, well, how do you cultivate this? How do you... And the first thing she said, well, the tradition from, you know, the very beginning was purification. You're not going to be invested with these higher energies until you yourself are capable of handling them.
Right.
Because this is not a little... It's one thing having an experience of just sort of seeing a light ray, but it's a completely different thing when you are able, let's say, to see the aura the way Barbara does. It requires
right.
a tremendous emotional and mental stability to be able to handle that.
Mm.
And you wouldn't want that if you weren't at that place. So you're absolutely right. The first goal of getting spiritual is self-mastery, you know. And that the higher helps us with so many things, but they can't, you know, when it comes to tempering the personality, ego, that's
mm-hmm.
our job. Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, they say the mother of all sins is pride. And
yes.
Certainly on the spiritual path, there's a real chance of developing a spiritual pride, you know. That,
yes. Oh,
that
gosh.
A lot of people fall prey to.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. They call them the spirit. Nothing's worse than a spiritual egotist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love Benjamin Franklin's. You know, he was trying to improve himself, and he would keep a journal. And when he got to the week of pride, humility. He was trying to master humility. He
mm-hmm.
said, I don't think I'll ever master humility, because if I did, I'd be so darn proud of myself. You know? the thing with pride, and of course they say that was the thing that caused the angels to fall, was pride.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with acknowledging an accomplishment that you made. But when the accomplishment is turned back onto you, and you're saying, I did this, you know, I'm the big kahuna here, then that becomes this overbearing, which the Greeks called the hubris, you know, the overbearing
right.
pride. It's you're denying the source of where your true accomplishment came from, which is God.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have this overbearing pride, it turns into this, like you said, egotist. And especially when you're on the spiritual path and you do, let's say, have some gifts, it can really go to your head.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some students that definitely had talent, you know, and some clairvoyance and things, but boy, did it puff them up, and they suddenly thought they were better than somebody else, and it,
mm-hmm.
it actually hurt their path rather than help it. Now, it's interesting, in the aura, you know, ambition to succeed, when it's healthy, looks as this beautiful, bright orange light, and it's especially in the hermetic, the heart center. But
mm-hmm.
when it comes into this sort of egotistical ambition, sort of ruthless ambition or things like that, the bright orange kind of degrades a little and becomes sort of this burnt orange energy,
mm-hmm.
which of course is going to cause problems, because these people are going to be, they're not going to stop, and they sometimes don't care if they hurt people along the way as long as they get what they want.
Yeah, the ends justify the means.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of, I mean, people that enter politics, Edgar Cayce said that they often have to have the overlay of ambition, because without that, they wouldn't be able to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
But if that gets out of hand, if there's
exactly.
too much of that, then
exactly.
it becomes pride. Yeah.
Oh, well, look at what it takes. I mean, we're in an election season now. It takes a lot of tenacity just to be on, to be able to even be in that arena, you know, whether you're,
it's
you know, honest
or not.
Brutal.
It's pretty brutal. You know, we're
yeah.
seeing it right now.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Attacking
but
each other's wives and, you know.
it's, yeah, but
I mean,
but
no part of your life isn't unturned.
Oh, my
know?
God.
yeah.
to grow up now, you would be, you know, because, you know, every moment of your life could be recorded on the Internet. you
yeah,
have to be really,
right.
really careful. You know, it's a different, but... But one thing I do want to say about politics and things is that, remember, there is such a thing as collective karma, and shall we say a destiny of nations and
mm-hmm,
and things.
Right.
So right now it's important, even if we feel discouraged, to participate in the political process, to do our civic duty, because mm-hmm. we're helping to decide the destiny of our nation. And
right.
this is true for all, so we can't let the discouragement of, you know, we have to be the example ourselves. That Athenian mm-hmm. oath that talks about when you see corruption, you be the example of goodness to help counteract that. That's what we have to do more of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's interesting you're focusing a lot on the emotional nature. It is a driving factor in a lot of things we do. Mm-hmm. In the aura, though, I want to kind of encourage, there is also above the head another chakra point that often is not talked about. It's mm-hmm. actually quite a bit above the head, about 2 feet. And this is the higher self point of spiritual knowing. And one of the things we teach in here is this is the divine part of us that's in communion with the higher and really where our answers are coming from. We did a workshop recently, and there was a lady that said, I thought if I didn't feel like doing something, then I wasn't supposed to do it. You know, and so, well, wait a minute. Look at this just from the point of view of the aura. You're talking about what you're feeling at this chakra point where your navel is. But mm-hmm. if the divine inspiration is coming from the higher self, where's your attention? You know, put your attention on your higher self, not on your emotions.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to make important decisions.
Right.
And sometimes what you're supposed to do, what's in the best interest of all concerned, may not be what you feel like doing at that exact moment. But if you do it anyway, and you start to realize the right move that you made, then of course the emotions will follow along. But emotions by themselves, they don't think. So they don't know by themselves what's necessarily the best thing to do. They need the inspiration of the higher to stimulate them, and then things will move in the way that they're supposed to.
So one of the things that you all teach is how to bring different colors into your aura.
Right.
And I have a question that was emailed to me from Mick DeWan in Irvington, New York. He says he's already purchased your CD, Change Your Aura, Change Your Life. Found it to be very helpful, but he has a problem trying to visualize the energy coming down from above into my eighth chakra, spinning in a clockwise fashion. When he sees the energy, it's spinning counterclockwise. And he says that's the way 99% of the planets and galaxies do. And he wants you to comment on this and perhaps offer ways in which to get out of the habit of visualizing energy spinning in a counterclock manner.
Okay, well, without seeing his description of what clockwise and counterclockwise is, it's hard to say which way he's actually visualizing this. But when it's, yes, these chakra points are spinning. Not the higher self point, though. The energy can flow around it in a clockwise, but the higher self is stationary. But the chakra points in our body literally are like planets moving on an axis. So that is absolutely correct. And they all have their own rate of vibration and spin, literally like planets, you know, in the solar system. If you are looking, you know, say, okay, I'm, how should I describe it? We say it's spinning clockwise as if you are the clock. And meaning, you know, straight up is 12 o'clock. Your left hand is 3 o'clock. Below you is 6 o'clock. Your right hand is 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So it needs to spin in that direction. If it is mm-hmm. spinning counter, it means there's a problem. For example, let's take the heart chakra. That is your outer world activities. The hermetic center is where all the, it's sort of your action center, your manifestation center. It's where you're mm-hmm. taking the energy or you're putting it out into life. And you're also accepting the experiences and energies from life through this center. Now, let's say there's a problem that is going on in your life, but let's say you're handling it really well. It's not resolved yet, but you're doing the things that you need to be doing to handle this situation properly. Well, your hermetic center is going to be spinning in this clockwise motion because you are dealing with this challenge in a healthy way, even though it may not be completely resolved at the moment. However, let's say you have the same situation, the same problem, but you're messing up. You're getting upset, you're getting angry, maybe you're even getting vindictive, or who knows what happens, but you're not handling this in a very good way. Well, the chakra point will be spinning counterclockwise. otherwise, meaning there's something you need to do to get things and handle this properly. And what we tell people, it's not what's happening in your life that's the measure of your spiritual maturity. It's how you're dealing with what's happening. We are not always in control of things happening around us. There's a universe of activity going on right now. Some things we are in control of, some things we are not. But the thing we're always in control of is how we handle those situations. And that's what brightens or darkens your aura. You know, we were showing, you talked about anger. If somebody is getting angry at me, they're projecting an angry energy. Not only is their aura angry, but they're projecting that to me. Uh-huh. If I react and get angry back at them, I've allowed that energy to come into my aura, integrate, and now I'm getting angry, and that's why sometimes screaming matches start, because it's just this banter of energy going back and forth. If I refuse it, if I say I'm not going to react to this, I'm going to handle it a different way, I'm not permitting that energy to upset my aura. So we have to sometimes be very strong. We stand at the door to our own consciousness, and we decide what we let in and what we don't let in. But many times we feel like we don't have that power, and then we do allow ourselves to become a victim. As Barbara has taught, you want to be the master or the victim of your life. It's your choice. But you're going to have to exercise that choice. It's not just going to happen because you want it to happen.
Right. So you talk about the turquoise ray. You want to
That's a fun
talk
one.
About, how that can help with poverty consciousness.
Yes, yes. Oh, I love that energy, and it's, of course, a favorite. I was amazed when I first started learning all of this that there was actually an energy of prosperity in the aura, and it's a brilliant turquoise light. We have to remember, you know, money is a form of spiritual energy, and it's particularly a form of earth energy. It's showing how we're harnessing the powers of the earth. Well, how am I going to serve my purpose here if I don't harness some earth powers? And that prosperity energy is how we're doing that. Most people do think in terms of accumulating money and amassing, but interestingly enough, spiritually speaking, prosperity consciousness means you have the ability to create what you need and at the time you need it. You know, if you need $1,000 today, you have the ability to draw that $1,000 to you through your spiritual power. If you need $100,000, you can actually accomplish that too through the prosperity consciousness. It's
right.
Not limited to a certain thing, but you're right. We often get into poverty consciousness. We we think that, you know, well, we're not good enough, or maybe we were brought up saying, oh, no, you can't have that, you know, that kind of thing. And those are all, I love the spiritual healer, Joel Goldsmith. He used to say, we often draw chalk marks around ourselves. You know, like when you're playing out, and you say, you draw this chalk mark, which you yourself have created, and you say, I can't go further than here. And
right.
We don't realize how many times we talk ourselves out of our own prosperity. Again, we have to be strong here. You know, there's a lot of energies on the earth. You want to manifest that wealth, go out and get it. You know, now another thing that especially spiritually minded people tend to do is there is an old, you know, old misunderstanding about money that somehow poverty is holy, you know, that when you do without money, oh, you're more spiritual. I don't deal with money, man. That's earthly stuff. I'm beyond that.
Right.
And that's a misquoted. There's an adage from the Bible that seems to support it, which says money's the root of all evil. But that's a misadage. That's not actually what the quote is. The quote is love of money is the root of all evil.
Right. Yeah,
so
what's different?
Money above God, money above your spiritual principles, then yes, then it's an evil. And we see this too much in the world now, where things are driven purely by a financial profit without concern for the effects of what that profit may be creating. So,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
I have a business where we probably have a budget of about $300,000 a month. And, you know, there's been times I had a manager that was a Capricorn, so she was, like, always analyzing everything. And she'd get really, really worried because she'd look at things and not understand where money was going to come in. And I'm a double Sag, so I never really worry about money, and I don't even really concentrate on money. But I think I have a lot of that turquoise because whenever we needed something, it would come in, and it would just amaze her. If we had a bill for $100,000 that was due, $100,000 would come in.
Terrific. Well, that's exactly the principle. And
but,
actually,
you know, you can't look at it too closely, I'm telling you. You can't analyze it too closely because that fear will come in, you know, if you really look at your budget and then don't realize that you've got all sorts of ways to get money in that maybe aren't in your budget.
But that can still happen.
It's funny.
Now, actually, you in a way, it was a little bit the two of you helping because you do want to, it's important, of course, to balance your checkbook and be practical about money. You can't just close your eyes and say, oh, God will take care of this when there's an obvious issue there.
Right.
But what you don't do is, like you said, when you look at this, where's it coming? Oh, it'll be there as long as you laid it out. So it sounds like you had both sides covered. You had somebody that was watching the pennies, shall we say, and you were, of course, what we call the revenue generator, which was bringing in the... So in a sense, both areas were covered. Some people do not know how to manage money, and they either overspend or they don't spend where they should, or they... And if that's the issue... You know, it's a skill just like anything else, you know.
Right.
And now we could also say in your case that maybe you've also earned what we call good money karma, you know.
Yeah, I think I have. I've never had money problems.
Right, which means you learned some of these lessons in another life.
Right.
And you're enjoying some of the fruits, and as long as you keep building on that and doing more good, that skill will actually continue to get better.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah, it's an important principle. The turquoise ray, you know, is definitely a wonderful energy to call on if you are feeling, you know, lost when it comes to money, to just get your mind in that prosperity awareness, like you're saying, so you know what you need will be there when you need it, and then go out and do the things you need to do, you know, go out and, but do it with that sense of positive knowing, not out of fear, and then it will kind of fall into place.
So, one of the things that you teach people is how to strengthen relationships.
Right.
You want to talk a little bit about how that can be done through working with the aura?
Well, first of all, our relationship energy does show up in the aura. So our relationships, what does the Bible say? If you can't love each other whom you see, how can you begin to love God whom you do not see? So if you say, oh, I love God, but I could take my fellow human, then you're not really loving God. So we have to look at our relationships as different facets of the divine love expression. Everybody in our life kind of brings out a different little piece of us. We don't interact with everybody in the same exact way. So there's always a little different relationship with somebody, and this gives us another facet of expressing our love flow. Now, when I say love, I don't mean that we have to hug everybody or we have to kiss everybody. Sometimes love is forgiveness. Sometimes love is tolerance. Sometimes love is patience. It can take on many forms, but it needs to be there. Now, of course, when somebody loves us, it's easy to love them back. And when we have good relationships, it's something we always want to go back to. And we know how exciting a healthy relationship can be and how life-enhancing it can be. But when we're faced with somebody that maybe is a little bit more of a challenge, there can be a tendency to point the fingers, to look at the faults of the other person, not necessarily realizing maybe there's an opportunity here to learn about a facet of love that I wasn't aware of before. You know, Socrates evidently had a very cantankerous wife and would throw pots and pans at him and things like that.
I didn't know that.
And his disciples used to say, well, why do you stay with her? And I says, well, if I can live with her, I can live with anybody.
Wow.
So if we take these relationships as opportunities, then we have a very, very different perspective on it.
True.
Yeah, and the love ray, by the way, in terms of the aura, the love ray. When you're dealing with any relationship, you can never have enough of that deep rose pink ray of spiritual love. Yeah, so just calling that in buckets.
So when we need divine guidance, how do we use the auric
right.
energies to help with that?
Right. Well, we do have to remember that we don't walk through this life alone.
Mm-hmm.
It's never a solo journey. God and the spiritual hierarchy and whatever names you want to give them, you know, the Talmud says for every blade of grass, there's an angel bending over it saying, grow. You know, so there's a cooperative effort throughout our life. And there are always going to be times in our life where we're not sure of our direction. And there's always going to be times where we need to reach to the higher to receive guidance and direction and understand what's
mm-hmm.
going on from a clearer perspective. Now, this guidance and direction doesn't mean somebody's going to lord over you and tell you this is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
What it means is working with the energy of the aura to see things from a much clearer perspective so you yourself know what to do. My own awakening into this and early experiences were these heightened levels of clarity, which I couldn't understand. They were just sort of happening. And I just, you know, I didn't want those moments to end because you just had so much sort of insight. And I realized it, after a while in working with Barbara, it was them. It was the higher coming around me. And that was what was giving me this kind of clarity. And they were teaching me this is what I have to learn to do more for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the energies to work with for guidance and direction is definitely the silver ray of divine intelligence. This energy brings in clarity of mind when we have those big question marks and we can't seem to understand why God, why, that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing that we may say. Why am I getting picked on? Why isn't this clear? Why, you know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
The silver ray can bring in a clarity of understanding, a deeper awareness. The gold is also a very important energy. It's the most dynamic energy in the aura, and it can bring in a decisiveness. So when it's, say, I do need to make a decision, that gold you definitely want to work with. It helps bring in wisdom and understanding and illumination. And the third energy is, of course, the pure white light. You know, the pure white light does bring in God's divine essence. It brings in revelation, and it can lift us into a whole other state of awareness, because many times when we're faced with a dilemma, we're so steeped in the dilemma, we're not in the energy of the solution. So
right.
we have to kind of step out of the dilemma and go to that higher self where the answers are, and the white light can help with that so that we
mm-hmm.
can start to receive and see things from a clearer perspective. And definitely working with the auric energies, I've done this countless times in my own life, and I'm definitely a living testament for how that can help you.
So there's meditative prayers to help with spiritual growth and renewal as well.
Yes, and that's one of the new chapters that we added. You know, this book actually has been around for a while, and it is a bestseller, and it's in several countries and all of that. But as we were doing the updated edition, of course, we've learned things just teaching this material for so many years. A lot of more questions now, of course, are around my spiritual growth and developing spiritually. And that is why we're here. You know, I mean, we have relationships, we pursue our careers, but we have to realize that behind this is a greater purpose. And that
mm-hmm.
purpose is our spiritual growth and serving in the divine plan and all of that. And we are evolving, you know, as souls we are evolving. And in the aura, that evolution is unmistakably seen. I mean, even the very shape of the aura can determine a level of spiritual, shall we say, advancement that we're at. I
mm-hmm.
mean, there's the rounded shape, which is the aura in the process of evolution. There's the squared shape, which is the aura that's in a devolved state of consciousness. And then there's the pointed oval, which is the aura we're all aiming to have. That's the enlightened state of consciousness. And you can work with the energies to help build up more of that power. Now, a wonderful, very ethereal ray that you can call on to help you with this is what's known as the apple green. And this is what they call a pearlescent color. It's a very effervescent, kind of, I won't say delicate, but very ethereal energy. And when it's seen in the aura, it means that the person is making definite progress in their spiritual growth. They're making strides. You know, we go through kind of stages of kind of, you know, sprouting and growing, others maybe a little bit more leveling off. But when we're in one of those sprouting stages and we're really making progress, that apple green will definitely show unmistakably in the aura. And we can call on this energy to get us more into that consciousness of thinking and behaving in a way that will help facilitate that growth. That won't automatically make you grow, but you can definitely condition your aura through meditation so that you are looking at your life more in terms of, you know, how will this help me? How will this serve, you know, the greater good? And that, of course, evolves the consciousness. You know, the light of the aura is consciousness. And the higher in consciousness you climb, the more light you earn, the higher in consciousness. So really, you know, what you're keeping in your heart, what you're keeping in your mind, this is the key. You know, this dialogue with God is a one-on-one thing. You know what's in your heart. And if there's something there that feels like it needs work, well, just go to work on it. And, you know, if you have that yearning for the higher life, we tell people that's not an accident. That's God knocking on your door. It's the divine saying it's time to go through one of these stages of evolution. The mystic Max Heindel did this beautiful illustration of effective illustration. He showed this like spiral, you know, saying here's the path of humanity on its upward journey. It's a slow, gradual, you know, evolution. But then the path of the initiate is, he drew a line, a path straight in the middle. That's the straight and narrow. The path of initiate is, shall we say, the quickened pace of development. But it's also the most steep. But if you have the spiritual awakening, it means you're ready to start some of this, you know, some of this accelerated work. And we are in a remarkable time, you know, in society right now where we can grow faster than we ever have before. You know, the fact that we're having this conversation, it wasn't that long ago. The only way you got any of this information is if you were in a mystery school or a secret society or an ashram.
Right.
And now we're talking about it on the air. I mean, it's a fantastic time to be in the spiritual work.
Now, there is a chapter in here called Closing the Psychic Door.
Yes.
You want to just comment on that briefly?
Okay, all right. Well, that's interesting. That's part of the process of protection.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes people say, oh, protection from what? Is
all
someone
right.
going to rob my house or, you know? No.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's a, you know, this is, we have to be careful, let's say, of the neighborhood we may be in or dangers that may be in physical life. There's psychic things that are going on. There's energy flows out there that are not the best.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can inadvertently kind of step into one of these environments and be affected energetically. But if you keep your protection around you, that will happen, the chance of that will happen far less. Now, the psychic door is interesting. It's actually, we call it a door. It's actually not quite a door. It's like a filtration system that's protecting your subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this subconscious mind is the seat of memory, but it's extremely sensitive, and it can record things even beyond, let's say the room you're in. So, for example, let's say a baby is sleeping upstairs or resting upstairs, and the parents downstairs, out of earshot, are arguing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the baby's subconscious can still pick up that argument.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we can kind of know things or psych into things, because we have this awareness. Now, that psychic door helps to protect from any unhealthy negative thought energies from going into that subconscious. But what happens is, like an Achilles heel a little bit. When we get angry, when we get upset, we can jar that filtration. It does look like kind of a door that's a little bit ajar. And then things can kind of go right into the subconscious. So, for example, let's say I'm a bank line waiting to make a deposit, and I'm feeling fine. But let's say my door is open a little bit, and the person in front of me is worried about money and projecting these thought energies of worry about money. Well, by the time I get to the teller, I could be worried about money and had nothing to do with me. I just started picking up this current, and my, you know, shall we say, my consciousness was a little open to it. So there's a simple technique in the book to close the door and work with that. And the other that we recommend is to put a golden bubble of protection around you, so no, you know, to help avert any negative energies.
Mm-hmm.
And these things can help stabilize the consciousness, so that you're just able to negotiate with the different energies. You know, we're constantly interacting with energies, whether we realize mm-hmm. it or not. And sometimes it's a pleasant experience, sometimes it's not.
Right.
And we just have to be aware. Now, if we're in environments where there's potentially challenging energies, we just have to double the reinforcement. If I'm a policeman or a fireman, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, anybody that's dealing with, you know, like massage therapists where you're touching people, you're getting mm-hmm. into their energy fields. And again, it's important to be protected so you're not picking up anything from them that's maybe not as healthy as could be.
Yeah, I noticed one time when my roommate moved in that he brought with him some very interesting energies that really had nothing to do with him, but he was in a bad, you know, roommate situation.
Oh, God.
So he was bringing it in through the other person, and it was like, I was like shocked to see that stuff in
wow.
my house.
Very, very
but,
sensitive.
You know, we were able to clear it out pretty quickly, but it was
right.
like, I'd never seen that sort of thing before, you know, but
well, it
was
must
just
have been a strong
innocent,
energy to
you know, he brought it
there.
With him, you know, just
yeah.
unknowingly, yeah.
Well, when I moved into, not the house I'm in now, but before I had bought this house, and it was a probate house, you know, the person had died, at, and the person had died in the house. He died of Agent
yeah.
Orange, and I didn't clear it the first night, as I should have, and I was sleeping on the living room floor with all the, you know, boxes around me, and at dawn I wake up and it's him. He's there and he's trying to choke me.
Wow. Yeah.
He didn't realize.
Not real happy
died.
You're there.
Exactly. He thought I was an intruder and he
yeah.
was trying to protect his property. And it took like
right.
3 days to convince him he had to go home. You know.
Yeah.
So yes, we
yeah.
do have to protect. Now I made an error there. I should have prepped the house better. So we do
yeah.
help people, you know, things like purify your home and
right.
even objects. I love the story of Barbara tells about her friend that bought this Ming Dynasty chair that
mm-hmm.
she was so proud of, and she was so but when she had it in her house, it was upsetting her, and she couldn't figure out why. And when Barbara tuned into it, it turned out, my goodness, the person that sat in this chair was ordering people to their death.
Oh, my goodness.
And the dark energy of that heavy
yeah.
thing was still in there centuries later.
Yeah.
So, of course, they purified it, but she decided, I don't want the chair anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, yeah. So, yes, you're right. We have to be careful. You know, look what the cat dragged in. You know,
yeah,
even parties,
yeah.
you know, people can come in, someone can come in with not the greatest energy. So just
mm-hmm.
make sure your house is, you can ask the protection to be around your house as well. So that you're, and even energy at the door, so that anyone coming in with any of these negative energies,
mm-hmm.
that's staying out. They're coming in, but that negative energy is
right.
staying out.
Yeah, we put yeah. that up around the center all the time.
Oh, that's
and it's
crazy.
Really wild because people who are schizophrenic will come in and have a piece in the center because they can't drag all the discoordinates with them. It's very interesting.
Oh, that's
it's very
good.
Interesting. Yeah.
Good, good.
Well, we're coming up at the end of our hour. Would you like to give some contact information?
Sure, sure. Well, our organization is Spiritual Arts Institute, and the website is spiritualarts.org. The phone number is 1-800-650-AURA, A-U-R-A, which is 2872. We welcome you. We have, you know, events coming up. We have a free workshop coming up next weekend, a webinar that anyone can join. The book is out, Change Your Aura, Change Your Life, and it's on Amazon and in bookstores and all of that. And just want to thank you on behalf of Barbara and myself for having me on the show and letting us share this information.
Great. Well, it's been enjoyable. Well, this is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. We've been interviewing Dimitri on his book with Barbara, Change Your Aura, Change Your Life. And if you'll join us next week, we'll have another interview. Thanks a lot.